say this with me. Say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
His mercy endureth forever.
You say, what do I say? Tell me what I say. I want his mercy. I need his mercy. Amen.
Well, we all thinking, well, you already got a big enough mouth. You don't need that thing turned on. Well, live stream people need me to turn it on. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible, you can open to Isaiah chapter 53. Today changes everything for divine healing. It changes the whole ball game today. Praise God. Some of the responses we got last night from this message, we're preaching the same series in Olean. Different things come out and different things are said because different people are present and different needs are represented. But I'll just say today's a game changer for divine healing. Praise God. And we're on a series, and the series is Healing Belongs to Us and How to Access It. Today's part three. And if you weren't here with us or if you've missed some of those, you can get online. We have them on the archives. But divine healing is a topic that people need to know about. Praise God. Amen. Because you might need to take advantage of that someday. And it's a promise that God gave to you, and it's one of the. It's the second thing I see people struggle with the most: money being first, and healing in their bodies being second. So it's a need in the body of Christ that we get our minds renewed to what the Word says. Hallelujah! Let's pray. Father, we do love you. Give us boldness. Give us utterance this morning. Words from heaven. They don't need to hear my opinions. They don't need to hear my philosophies. They don't need to hear what I think. They need to hear what you want to say, Father God. And so I just want to be a faithful vessel here this morning. Father, say whatever needs to be said. Do whatever needs to be done, Father. And we'll give you the praise and glory. Father, we'll just get out of your way. And we'll be willing and we'll be obedient in this service. And Father, I thank you that it causes this service to be blessed. I thank you we eat the good of the land in this service. And Father, speak to every single person's heart here. Hit the bullseye of what they need to hear. And Lord, when it happens, may they recognize it, not miss it as their visitation. Father, may they hear something from heaven that will be just specifically for them. And they'll walk out of here changed and walk out of here blessed. And we'll give you the glory. We will not hijack your praise. We will not. This is not about a man. This is not about the name of a ministry. This is about Jesus. And so, Father, you get the glory. You get the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been looking at the fact that God's a healer. I'm not going to do too much review. We just need to get going. We were looking at God's a healer. He declares that in his word in Exodus 15. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he doesn't change. So if he am back then, he am right now. Hallelujah. He has not changed being I am the Lord that heals you. Praise God. And we saw that through Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, Jesus made a profound statement. I love it. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The devil. No. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, we never see Jesus making anybody sick. We never see Jesus doing any harm. We only see him bringing blessing, joy, and peace and provision to people. Praise God. Why? Because he was bound to do what Daddy does, and that's what Daddy does. Daddy's a provider. Daddy's a healer. Daddy's a blesser. Daddy's a good God. Hallelujah. And the Lord gave me this because you can look in the Old Testament, and man, it sure makes out God to look like he's got a temper problem, doesn't it? It sure makes it look like all of a sudden God went to anger management and out popped Jesus in the New Testament, right? But see, he's never changed. You have to understand the Old Testament was written by people with an imperfect revelation of God. You know, Job was one of those people. Job had his life pretty much destroyed, and he chalked it up and gave credit to God until he found out it wasn't God. Right? He said, the Lord gave, the Lord take away. And then he repented later and said, I spoke things that were against knowledge. And he learned. And so I like the example the Lord gave me last week with, you know, Jesus is the light. And when Jesus stepped on the scene, all that did was a perfect revelation of who God was. See, for so long, people thought God was the one pressing the button for destruction. No, the New Testament sheds the light and says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That God's the healer, that the devil oppresses with sickness. And for so long, people have thought God has been partnering with the devil. That's impossible. The devil's evil. God's good. And Jesus stepped on the scene and shed some light. And the Bible's like a movie. You know, The Wizard of Oz, for the majority of that movie, when you saw it the first time, you couldn't wait to see The Wizard of Oz because he was supposed to be big, bad, and powerful, right? And then it was like a big, fat letdown, wasn't it? He was not great, big, and powerful, right? He just a normal human being, a little old man behind a curtain. And but the way people were talking about him the whole way, reporting the Great Wizard of Oz, same way with the Old Testament. The way they reported about God wasn't necessarily correct. But Jesus came and finished the movie. Jesus came and ripped the curtain off and said, no, if you've seen me, you've seen my dad. My dad doesn't destroy. My dad doesn't bind people with sickness. He blesses. Glory to God. So you need to remember that. Jesus is a revealer of who God is. God's always, always been good. Don't let some translation things and don't let people that added imperfect revelation of God get any doubt in your mind that you start to think, well, God's okay with me being sick. Or God's the one that sent it. God doesn't have any sickness to give you. He's only got good things. Praise the Lord. And then we saw last week that the Old Testament people that were in covenant with God, they had a covenant of healing, didn't they? We saw verse after verse after verse that God promised Old Testament people healing. People that you have a better relationship with God than they ever did. You're in a better standing. The Bible says in Hebrews 8:6 that they have a better covenant established upon better promises. So if they at least had healing, we at least have healing. If they had healing in their bodies, we could at least have healing. Glory to God. And much more. Hallelujah. And so we're preaching. This is a two-part series in the sense that we're looking at healing belongs to us and then how to access it. And we're still in the fact of trying to show people. We showed people that God's a healer. We showed people that Jesus was a revelation of God. We showed people last week that Old Testament saints have healing. And if they have it, it belongs to you. We're going to go even further today and let you know about how healing belongs to you. Because you have to get to the point where if sickness shows up on your doorstep, you know that you know that you know that it does not belong there. I'll tell you, there's nothing that makes me madder when symptoms show up on my children or on my own body or my family's body. Nothing makes me more madder. Nothing fires me up more because it's not supposed to be there. But see, I didn't just think that up on my own or just hope that that was the case. I've taken time to look in the Word. You know, if someone leaves you a will, amen, if someone leaves you a will and you know, man, they had a lot of stuff and they had a lot of money, don't you want to go reading down through there and see what belongs to you? That's what I've done with the Bible. God left me a will. I want to go down through this thing. I'm not just going to casually say, oh, there's stuff in there for me, and if I get it, I get it. No. If you put me in your will, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you put me in your will, I'm going to get what you gave to me, just so you know. So if you want to make sure that your stuff goes, not just sitting there and it actually goes to good use, go ahead and put me right in there. I'll make sure to use it all up. Hallelujah. And so I've taken time to look, and I'm convinced by the Word of God that healing belongs to me. And what that does is when something shows up, I have the faith for it. I'm not sitting around thinking God's part of it. I'm not sitting around thinking God's okay with it. I'm not sitting around thinking the devil has more power than me. Nope, it belongs to me, praise God. Healing belongs to me, praise God. Imagine if, the example that came to me is, imagine that you went on an all-expense-paid cruise. I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise. I haven't. My wife went on one, and I know that the boats sometimes go into different ports, and then you can do things. You can stay on the boat and have fun, or you can go out and, you know, walk the town, or there's a beach or different things. But there's also things where you can pay extra to go on excursions. And sometimes people will pick cruise destinations based on those excursions and certain things that they can do. I know my sister went on an Alaskan cruise, and you know, they got to go where they're seeing bears and seeing whales and different things. And all those things were extra. Well, let's say somebody blessed you with an all-expense paid cruise, and you know, all that good stuff comes with it. And it was your dream to go to a certain location and to get to actually do what you want to do. You had to go on those excursions. Let's say somebody paid for those extra excursions, but you never found out about it. Here you have the opportunity. It's your legal right to get off that boat, to get on that wherever, a car, a van, or a boat with other people, go do something extra, get something extra for your life. It's already been bought and paid for. Already been bought and paid for. You have a legal right to get it, but if you don't know about it, you're not been told about it, you're not going to partake of it. That's the way it is with divine healing. But today's the game changer. Hallelujah. And you're like, ooh, I'm excited. I hope so. Praise God. And what have we heard our whole life as Christians? Once we became born again, or even before you were born again, what did you hear? Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That's what you've heard over and over and over again. And it's true. But you've heard it so much that Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word. So you've heard that, and I would hope that you shouldn't be able to sleep good at night if you don't have it as settled as I do. But I have it so settled that I'm heaven bound. If you don't have it settled that you're heaven bound, you should have trouble sleeping because hell is the worst place imaginable. You study what hell is, it is absolutely awful. It'll turn you, if you really study hell, it'll turn you into a soul winner real quick. You'll start telling people about Jesus. You won't give a rip what they think. You won't give a rip about who it offends because hell will offend them a lot worse. Now, there's tact and there's ways to do it and being led by the Holy Ghost. But hell's an awful place. And if you're not settled on where you're going when you die, you should have trouble sleeping at night because it's that awful. And we don't know when our checkout time is. We've not been given a day and time where we can be casual with things in life and just know that it's off in the distance. We don't know exactly when we're going to go. Now, we've been promised long life if we'll walk according to the ways of God. But still, even then, we don't know the exact time. But when I lay down at night, I'm not fearful of going to hell. I'm not fearful that I'm going to perish in the flames. Why? I know that I know that I know that my Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Why? I've been told that over and over and over again. You can't talk me out of my salvation. Jesus Christ himself could appear to me and tell me I'm not born again, and I'd have to say, sir, I'm sorry, you're wrong. I know what the word says. Now, of course, Jesus wouldn't do that. I'm trying to really use an exaggerated example here of how sold out your pastor is on the fact that he's going to heaven. You can't talk me out of it. Billy Graham couldn't talk me out of it. The greatest preacher that ever lived. Apostle Paul could show up. He ain't talking me out of my salvation. I know I'm born again. I've accepted Jesus. I know that him dying on the cross. Now, when he was on the cross, he went through misery. He went through hell on that thing. I mean, he actually went to hell from the cross. He went through the worst imaginable pain and suffering, separation from his Father. And that was to pay the price, for your sin. The Bible says on the cross, he was made sin so that you would become the righteousness of God. And we've heard that our whole life. And so we're solid in those areas. I can't talk you out of your salvation. You can't talk me out of mine. Why? You know. You've heard. But what if today I can show you in the Word that when Christ was on the cross, getting those nails jammed into his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns smashed upon his head, beaten to a bloody pulp before he was put on there. If I can show you that that same hell that he went through on the cross for your sins is the same exact hell he went through to pay for your healing, that's a game changer. Because you are so convinced about your salvation because you just know when Jesus was on the cross, that's what he went there for. But I'm going to show you today that he died just as much for your sickness as he did your sin. Same thing. It's like this. If someone pays for me to go on an all-expense-paid cruise with the excursions, I don't have to. It was all the same price, but it included so many different things. I don't have to worry about going to the pizza buffet at 3 in the morning and wondering if I can partake. It's already been paid for. And I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons I want to go on a cruise. I can't imagine having pizza at my disposal anytime. And so that's my main goal to be on a cruise is for the food. And it's just the truth. But it's paid for. The desserts, all of those desserts, oh boy, I bet those cost a lot. I mean, I'll tell you what, if I go on, I'll say when, because I'm not really too excited about going on a cruise, so I'm not putting my faith out there, but if I go on a cruise someday, I'll tell you what, there's going to be dessert after dessert. I'm not going to just stop at one helping, just so you know, on that cruise. I'll lose the weight when I get back. But I wonder, I've already had 4 pieces of that chocolate mousse that is just divide. I don't know if I can get 5. You know, it cost money. No, it's already been paid for by the same price. The same check, the same credit card that paid for me to be able to sleep in that room, to swim in that pool, to go off that boat, to eat that food, to use those restrooms, to do all that on the ship. The same one payment covered it all. Jesus, one payment on the cross covered so much. But we've only been told, and we've only been having it crammed down our throats and into our heads that he died for our sins. You need to start cramming it in your head that he died for your sickness. Because if you can get to that point, then nobody will ever talk you out of divine healing. No symptom on the face of the earth will talk you out of your healing. No doctor's report will be able to talk you out of your healing. Hallelujah. Yeah, just like the best of the best preachers could come here and tell me, you ain't saved. I'm sorry, you're wrong. You can't talk me out. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how real that doctor report looks. I don't care how real that symptom looks. I know my Jesus paid for it. But don't take my word for it. Take the Word's word for it. So we need to get our minds renewed to the Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 is where we're going to start today. Think about how solid you are in your salvation. Think about how solid people are that don't even believe in divine healing are on their salvation. They just know. That's just part of it. It comes with territory. I get heaven because he died on the cross. Imagine becoming that sold out. I get healing because he died on the cross. But see, when people don't know it, I don't mean just heard it. When people don't know it, they won't partake of it. They won't. And I'm going to show you that at the end. You're going to see at the end something very eye-opening that the Word tells us. I'm going to show you a reason that the Bible says that many people in the body of Christ are weak, are sick, and die prematurely. The Bible tells us a reason why many people in the body of Christ, now many is a majority, isn't it? Many is a lot. It's not a few. He says many Christians, born-again children, the Bible says there's a cause as to why they're sick, why they're weak, and why they die prematurely. Thank God that we can find out what the causes are and we can close the door on those causes. But I'll get there in a second, and it has everything to do with knowledge. Praise God. Well, my people are destroyed. For what? Lack of knowledge. Woo, glory to God. We're going to be blessed today. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Now, Isaiah was a prophet. Prophets were prone to visions. Prophets were prone to seeing things. In Isaiah 52 and in 53, even scholars that do not believe in divine healing but are biblical scholars will tell you that Isaiah is having a vision or a prophecy, and he's seeing into the future, and he's seeing Jesus, the servant, dying on the cross. And so we pick it up in verse 4, and it says, surely, now remember, Isaiah's seeing this. This is thousands of years before it even happened, and Isaiah's seeing it in the future. And he says, surely he, talking about Jesus, has borne our griefs. Now, borne means to take them upon himself. Borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are, not gonna be, are healed. That word healed there is the same word healed that when Jesus or God said in Exodus 15, I am Lord that healeth you. He's saying, I am Lord that Rapha, or Hebrew word Rapha you. He says, upon him and with his stripes, we are Rapha. Praise God, healed. To be thoroughly made whole, to be mended, to be cured, praise God. Well, people that just casually look at the Bible and have a religious mindset. Remember, I told you the story about laying hands on the girl in youth group. She got divinely healed and her parents made her stop coming. Remember I told you that story last week? And we see in the Bible Jesus would heal people and people would get so mad they'd want to kill him. Religion can't stand divine healing for some reason. I don't understand it, but it's a religious devil that's in there. And people with that spirit on them will say, yeah, with his stripes, we are healed spiritually. That's not talking about physical healing, Pastor Mike. Well, let's make sure and find out what the Bible says. Praise God. So I'm going to show you that when it says with his stripes, we are healed, he ain't talking nothing about your spirit. Your spirit can't even biblically be brought up in this verse. And I'll explain that in a second. Well, let's go back to verse 4. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Of course, you know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That word griefs and that word sorrows in the Hebrew should have been translated, and I'm going to prove it to you by the word, but also if you have a concordance, just look these words up in the Hebrew. Just look up the word grief in the Hebrew, and it'll tell you that that word means sickness and disease. The word sorrows in the Hebrew, the word should have been translated, and the funny thing is, in other places in the Old Testament, the translator translated that Hebrew word as sickness and disease, and they translated sorrows as grief, or sorrows as pains. But here, they put griefs and sorrows. Seems to be that the translators even had a hard time believing that Jesus died on the cross for their healing. But thank God we don't just have to trust concordances and Greek and Hebrew words. We have the Bible to prove the Bible. But he says, surely he has borne our sickness and carried our disease, is what it should read. Our sickness and disease and carried our pains. On the cross, he bore sickness and disease. Now, I'm going to show you this by the word. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Even if, okay, let's pretend Pastor Mike didn't do his due diligence. Let's pretend Pastor Mike didn't study, didn't read about things that talk about divine healing that show you and point out these words, that they don't mean griefs and sorrows. They mean sickness, disease, and pains. Let's pretend that's not even there. We wouldn't even need it. We just need the Bible. And I'll show you why. In Matthew 8, 17. Actually, Heather, I'm sorry. If you could go drop down to verse 16. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And, everybody say and. And healed all that were what? Sick. So here we see Jesus healing people in their bodies. Now when Matthew saw this, it triggered something in him. And this verse, next verse I'm going to show you, is going to prove the verses I just showed you before, that when Isaiah said, he's borne our griefs and sorrows, he didn't say, Isaiah didn't pen it as he bore our griefs and sorrows. Isaiah penned it as he took our sickness from us. How do we know? Because Matthew sees Jesus healing people, and then in verse 17 writes this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So he sees Jesus healing, and he says, I know what this is. I studied the Old Testament. I know Isaiah's prophecies. I know the visions Isaiah had and wrote down. I recognize what's going on here. That it might be fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah saying, himself took our griefs and our sorrows. Oh, Isaiah said, or Matthew said, Isaiah wrote that Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So now I'll go back to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Matthew's saying, see, Matthew didn't have to worry about Hebrew and all that. He already was a Jew. He already was reading the Hebrew Bible. He already knew what Isaiah said and what he meant. And so now when he says, surely he has borne our griefs and sorrows, we know because Matthew quoted Isaiah that the translators got that wrong. Aren't you glad you have someone to study and point this stuff out to you? Praise God. Don't be a baby birdie, ever. Do you know a baby birdie? You sit down. You could drop a stick of dynamite in that baby bird's mouth and they'll eat it right up, wouldn't they? You put anything in there. Don't be a baby bird just, oh, someone had a shirt and tie and has a ministry and on the internet and they're standing behind a pulpit. Just take for every word they say. No, 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 no. Who gives a rip what I say if it's not the word, right? Amen. Who gives a rip whose names are on those books? If inside those books it's not the word. Who gives a flutie tootie? Hallelujah. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our pains. Now this is what you need to understand. The Bible leaves out the human drama here. Now what's so cool, and I won't get into this, this is a study for another time, is when Matthew quoted that Isaiah's prophecy was being fulfilled, it was a down payment of what that, because that prophecy there is talking about Jesus on the cross. Because he didn't become sick on the earth. In fact, Jesus was never sick. We have scripture to prove it. That he was never sick, he was never poor. And so it was actually Jesus was giving people a down payment of healing before he even died on the cross. See, back then, if you wanted healing, you had to go to him. Now he's in you. Praise God. It's for all of you. But surely he has borne our sickness and carried our pains. So what Isaiah is seeing in the spirit realm, you need to try to picture and get for yourself in your own mind. Isaiah is seeing thousands of years down the road all the sickness of mankind hitting Jesus while he's on the cross. You say, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, don't believe me, believe the word, right? You're always going to be safe here. We're going to be Bible thumpers around here. Not thumping you over the head. We don't want to thump you over the head with it, but just proving our points here with the word. Go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Now again, these two prophecies are Isaiah seeing in the future and seeing Jesus do something. I just hope you're ready. I've preached this before, but every time I preach it, I get chills. Every time I preach it, I want to just start crying because I'll tell you, it's going to make you appreciate. Get ready to appreciate Jesus on a whole new level. Amen? Get ready to be about a million times more thankful than you've ever been for him before. Isaiah 52 and verse 14, it says, and many were astonished, or that's the word's a little blindness in the King James, and many were astonished at thee, talking about Jesus, shocked at him. One translation I'm going to read says, and many were horrified at Jesus. Why were they horrified at him? Well, look at it. It says, his visage or his appearance was so marred more than any man. It says that his appearance became marred more than any human being that's ever walked the face of the earth. Now remember, he's seeing him on the cross. And then it goes on to say, and his form more than the sons of men. Now that, again, is blind to us. Let's look at what some more modern translations say about this. Now remember, he's seeing the moment of Jesus on the cross. It says, this is what it says in the Amplified. I'm going to read three translations that will bring it out more clear to you. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond the sons of men, but just as many were astonished at him. The New International Version says, just as there were many who were appalled at him, now get this, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. The Bible says he didn't even look like a human anymore. The Message Bible says, but he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured, past recognition. That's what it means when it says, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He didn't look like a human being anymore on the cross. Now, my question to you is, crucifixions were nailing people in their hands, nailing people in their feet, put them on a cross. Jesus' case, he got beat before he went on there, and he had a crown of thorns put on his head. Those things in and of itself make a person look bad. They make a person look bloodied and beat up, but they don't make a person look unhuman. Nails in somebody's hand does not make you look unhuman. A crown of thorns on your head does not make you look unhuman. Right? Beatings to your back, while it may make you look bad, I can still tell that you're a human being. Right. But the Bible says that when Isaiah saw him, people were horrified. It was like a horror flick that day. You've seen some horror flicks, these creatures that come out of nowhere, they don't look human. So people were shocked, astonished at him. What the heck happened? Why did it only take Jesus hours to die on the cross? Yet if you study crucifixions, it would take people days to die. And they would hang there and they would push their feet up, as gross as it sounds, to get more air. And what they would do for mercy killing, sometimes they'd come and they would break the people that are on the cross's legs. Study this out. It's there. It's true. And then they couldn't push up and it would cause them to die quicker. Jesus didn't have one bone in his body broken, the Bible says. Yet he died in hours. What causes a man who most people take days to die, what causes him to die in hours and to be transformed from a human being to not even looking human, where people are horrified and shocked at him? Nails don't do that, crown doesn't do that, and a whip doesn't do that. You know what does that? When every single disease that's ever had a name that hasn't been discovered. Now, the Lord gave me this revelation yesterday on the way to church. He said, listen, Pastor Mike, cancer wasn't just placed on Jesus, just the word cancer. Every stage of cancer. See, because some people go through a stage where it's not that bad, when I'm saying, you know, relative to what other people go through. I'm not saying cancer is ever good. You understand what I mean? But some people, it's so fast and progressive and it's so far. He said, every stage of any cancer that anybody's ever gone through, from the least to the worst, had to have been put on Jesus that day, so that way healing would have been offered to all. Every stage of a flesh-eating bacteria that immediately starts to tear up the flesh would have had to have been put on Jesus that day, because he covered, it was a redemption for all. He said, I'll heal all your diseases. Every bit of AIDS, every stage of AIDS, every stage of tuberculosis, the Ebola, all these things, the least of the flus to the worst of the flus, were placed on Jesus. That will cause a man to not look human anymore. That will cause a person to be disfigured, because there's diseases and things that haven't even been discovered yet, that do not even have a cure, and they were placed on Jesus, and Isaiah saw the whole thing. The Word wouldn't tell us he didn't look human if he didn't look human. The Word doesn't lie. All of a sudden, he went from looking like a man to who even knows what he looked like up there. Why? He was being pummeled. He was being pelted by every disease. Every sickness was coming, and it caused him to die within hours. And to not even look human. And guess what? He did that for you. Nobody forced him there. People say, oh, Pilate killed him. No, he didn't. Oh, the Roman soldiers killed him. No, he didn't. Jesus said, no man has the power to take my life from me. I lay it down. I love that about him. That gives me chills. Nobody took my Jesus' life. Because that makes it not as special that he was forced to go there. No, he wasn't. He laid his life down. At any moment, he could have snapped his fingers and legions of angels would have come to his defense, pulled him off the cross and smote every single one of those people. Get your hands off him. And he laid it down for you. For you. If you would have been the only one that said, I believe, he'd have done it for you. Because there were no guarantees. I mean, look how many people reject it. And he still did it. Isn't that awesome? And I'm going to get bold now for a second. And people are so casual with God. People are so, they want God to move heaven and earth. And people can't do a lick for him. He paid the ultimate price, and we can't even give him a few hours out of the week. We can't even bring our tithe. We can't, I'm not saying this church. I'm saying the body of Christ in general. I'm not picking on this church. Understand? I love the group of sheep that I pastor more than any other sheep in the whole body. I'm saying as a whole, people are so casual with him. He's given you everything so much. He paid. And if it would have just been you, he'd have said, I'll do it. I'll do it. Praise God. Don't be casual with God. Seek first the kingdom and things will start being added to you. You'll say, well, why aren't things being... Are you seeking first the kingdom? Are you walking in faith? Are you talking doubt and belief all the time? Are you showing up for your visitations? Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Seek first the kingdom. It'll work out for you. It's up to you. It's not up to him. He already said, listen, I'm going to show you that I love you so much. I'm going to do it all for you right now. And all you need to do is cooperate. Praise God. Hallelujah. He didn't even look human. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. See, he died not only for your sins, he died for your sickness. Isaiah looked into the future and saw Jesus being pelted. You know, one thing that is a misconception of the body of Christ is that the office of the prophet is no longer in existence. And that's not true. The Bible says Jesus, after he died on the cross, gave gifts unto men. Some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. Now, the pastor is the gift that will be the most prevalent in your life. He's amongst the sheep. He's with the sheep. He's with you on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis. But these other gifts have not gone away. Now, there's not going to be prophets like there were in the Bible who write forth doctrine and write forth prophecies like that, but there's still New Testament prophets. One of them was who I call my spiritual granddaddy, was Dr. Dufresne. And Pastor Nancy Dufresne's husband. And when he got born again, he just couldn't wait to serve God. You know, there's just, I don't understand people that just don't want to serve God, but because he did everything for me. I'm like, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? That's just my heart, and that was his heart. And but he was taking up communion one day, and he didn't understand it. And he said, Lord, I we're doing communion, but I don't get it. Explain it to me. And it's interesting what the Lord showed you, and in the verses I'm going to show you today, you're going to see why God showed him that. He said all at once, and remember, you have to understand, in New Testament, Bible says in the last days, people will have visions, people will have dreams and revelations. They're biblical. Praise God. I've had visions, I've had dreams that were from God. You can't turn them on and off. They don't happen all the time, but they're true. And he said the roof of that church opened up when he said, Lord, I don't understand communion. He said the roof opened up, and all of a sudden he saw Jesus on the cross in the spirit realm. He saw what Isaiah was seeing. And he said all of a sudden, through the air, he saw words flying. He said there were words he recognized and words he didn't recognize. He said he saw cancer. He said he saw tuberculosis. He said he saw arthritis flying through the air. And it would fly through the air and it would hit Jesus. And the Bible, and he says that when it hit Jesus, it would jar him. Well, the Bible says he was marred. He was jarred and he was marred. And those diseases would come. And he said they were coming slow at first. And he said they started to become just faster. Words that he never even saw, just bam, left and right, hitting Jesus. Well, that's what Isaiah saw. He bore sickness on the cross. He took it from you. Praise God. Now, 1 Peter 2:24 says this. It says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by also, praise God, whose stripes you were healed. Now, we just showed you that there was something that caused Jesus to die quick, to not be looked like a human anymore. And that was because every disease and every sickness was hitting him. Nails don't do that. A crown don't do that. Praise God. A whip doesn't do that. But every disease ever known to mankind will make you look different. But people will say, Pastor Mike, no, you have it all wrong. Even after everything, say, that's all about our spiritual healing. Well, aren't you glad we have the Bible? Go 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. What's the point of today's message? That you walk out of here and say, stop saying Jesus just died for your sins, but start saying Jesus died for my healing. Jesus died for my healing. Getting sold out to the fact that Jesus died for my healing. That nobody can talk you out of it. No symptom and disease, no sickness, no doctor report, no feeling in your body can talk you out of that my Savior paid for this. I don't have to keep this. Doesn't have to be this way. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ or accept Christ or become his, he is a what creature?
New.
Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, let me ask you a question. If a child falls off the swing set at a playground, breaks his arm, do we rip that arm off and give him a new one? What do? We throw a cast on the same one he has so that it what? Heals. Gets better, right? So would you say that when somebody's arm is broke, gets healed by a cast, do you say, that's a brand new arm? Oh, it's the same arm it's always been. It's a healed arm, but it ain't brand new. We did not get a healed, bandaged up, casted spirit. The Bible says we got a brand spanking new spirit. He took the old nature out, put the new one in. We were not healed spiritually. We were made new spiritually. So to say that those verses in Isaiah and in 1 Peter say that we were spiritually healed, it just ain't biblically right. You can't be spiritually healed. You can be spiritually made brand new. There ain't no Band-Aid ever made that could have fixed your problem. God went in there and reached in and took out the old and replaced it with a new spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm going to show you one more thing about how Jesus paid for on the cross real quick, and then I'm going to get to that cause thing that I was telling you about. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen to what it says in verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us or rescued us from the curse of the law. Now, it says being made a curse for us. Where was that? Where did that happen? What tells us? For it is written, cursed is everyone that what? Hangs on a tree. So the Bible tells us in this verse that when Jesus was on the cross, he redeemed us or rescued us from the curse of the law. Well, for that to make any sense and mean anything to you, you have to know what the curse of the law was. The law was a set of ordinances that God told the children of Israel, you know, the law age in the Old Testament, follow these things and you'll be fine. But if you don't, you're stepping over into the devil's territory. Thank God for grace now. Amen. Because we don't have to follow every single little thing and wonder. We can do our best and thank God for forgiveness when we miss it. But the law is found in Deuteronomy 28. In verse 1, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Now remember, the Bible says he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, and do the study on your own, 1 through 14 tell you all the blessings that will come your way if you do what God has said. Remember I told you last week about the playing in the road thing? Right. It's like that. I tell Caleb, don't you play in the road, but if you play in the road, things might happen to you, but I don't say, if you play in the road, I'm going to kill you. God is saying to the children of Israel, don't play in the road. Because if you play in the road, something can happen to you, but God never said, if you play in the road, I'm going to kill you. The devil's the destroyer. We got to get our thinking straight. But in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, tells you all the blessing, physical, financial, protective blessings. But then, from verse 15, all the way down to verse 61, it talks about the curses of the law. Now remember, Jesus, by hanging on the cross, Galatians 3 says, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, when you look at all those curses from verse 15 down to verse 61, look at how many of those curses have to deal with physical sickness. Now, you might go through that list and say, but that's not what they say that I have. Or what I've gone through, or what most people go through nowadays, it's not on here. It must not have been covered. Thank God for verse 61, if you could pull that up, Heather. Look at what one of the curses of the law was. Praise God. And every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law. So he's saying one of the curses of people going outside of the law is that every sickness, not even the ones that are just named, ones that haven't been discovered yet, people could experience by not being doer of the word. Well, the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. One of the main curses of the law was physical sickness. You've been rescued from having to be sick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By what? Him hanging on the tree. And, you know, wait till we preach on finances. You've been redeemed from poverty, too. The same hell that Jesus went through. People say, oh, money's not important. Yes, it is. You like that air conditioning. You like being able to see. You like being able to come here, right? Doors stay open. Money. You like knowing the fact that we're writing books and getting people born again. Money. The same hell that he went through on the cross paid for your sin, your sickness, and your poverty. It's a threefold, a full redemption. People say money's not important. It was important enough for Jesus to die so you wouldn't be without it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You say, oh, you're going to have to show me in the Word. I'd be glad to. Give me a call. Praise the Lord. We'll give you lots of scriptures. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this is where we're going to close today. Praise God. Now, I'm going to show you what the Bible talks about as a cause. And I said this last night. Don't confuse causes with condemnation. God puts causes in there to point out why things might be wrong so that you can be bettered from them, so that you can get help. God doesn't point out causes to point the finger at you, to say you're awful and terrible and how could you do this, you're stupid. That's not God. God does never get into condemnation. Devil plays around in the field of condemnation. The devil will say causes are for to make you feel bad. Oh, you messed up. Oh, you did this. Listen to me. I don't care if you messed up every day of your life. Make today be the day you start not messing up anymore. He won't hold you to all those days, all those years of messing up. You know what God thinks your past is worthy of? Forgetting it. Not holding it in front of you, not blasting you with it. He thinks your past is worthy to be forgotten. He says, I will not remember your sins no more. That's what he thinks it's worthy of. You're called to be an imitator of God. So you know what you should think your past is worthy of? Forgetting it. Not holding on to it, not rehearsing it over and over again in your mind and beating yourself up. Oh, what a stupid idiot I was. How dumb. Stop it. You're not being a doer of the word. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, I haven't obtained, but one thing I have. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward, pressing unto those things which are before me, right? Laying hold of what God has for me. And then in the next verse, I believe it's verse 15, he says, if any of you have a mature or a perfect mindset, think this way. The mature Christians, the ones that go forward in God, they're not looking backwards. Right. God's not a God of yesterday. God's not a God of neutral. God's a God of going forward and pressing, pressing, pressing. He's not concerned with your mistakes. He's not concerned with all the things you messed up. And so if you find a cause, we're going to have a whole sermon someday about causes of sickness. And one of those causes, you can say, you can honestly say to yourself, that's me. Don't beat yourself up. Just say, now I know. Remember what G.I. Joe said, no one's half the battle. That's what they always used to say at the end of the cartoon. So, I mean, I believe G.I. Joe. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 11. Y'all need to laugh a lot harder at my jokes. It would make me feel a whole lot better up here. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. Now, I want to show you something. We'll close with this. Because I have to show you a cause today and not wait until causes because it has to do with Jesus dying on the cross. Because today we're showing you that your sin was paid for and your sickness. Now, in this portion of Scripture, Paul's talking about communion. Look what he says in verse 26. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So what's the Bible say about how often you should do communion? As often as you do it. There's no set time of how much or how little. You could do it every day. You could do it 10 times a day. We could do it every week as a church. We could do it once a year. That'd be fine. For as often as you eat this bread. Well, as often as you do it. For as often as you eat this bread, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself. I'll tell you what, it pays to examine yourself. To look over your life, say, boy, is there anything kind of stinky there? Is there anything out of order? Is there anything that's causing me not to walk in the blessing? A lot of people don't like to examine themselves. They don't want to know what they're going to find. I want to know what I'm doing wrong. What I'm doing wrong is hurting me, praise God. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eats and drinks unworthily. Unworthily would be having a lack of understanding. If you understood, you wouldn't drink it unworthily. Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Now notice this next statement, don't forget this. Not discerning the Lord's body. What's he talking about? Discerning. Not understanding or having a revelation of what Jesus' body did. Well, we just looked at what Jesus' body, one of the things it did. It was on the cross being pelted, with every disease and every sickness. And the Bible says that not discerning the Lord's body, look at what it says in verse 30. For this cause. Now, that points out a couple things. Number one, that there's causes to things. But now it's going to tell us a specific cause, which the verse before told us the cause is not discerning the Lord's body or not understanding, not having a revelation of what Jesus did for you. For this cause, many, everybody say many. Now he's writing to Christians, not worldly people. Children of God. He says, for this cause, what cause? Not discerning the Lord's body, many are sick and weak among you. And I can testify that is true. The majority of the body of Christ don't know a lick about divine healing. They have no idea that Christ paid on that cross just as much as for their sickness as he did for their sin. They have no idea. And because they don't discern it, because they don't understand it, the devil can creep right in. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But when you discern, hey, he died on the cross. See, when you break the body of the bread, he said this signifies my body. What? His body being broken, so your body wouldn't have to be broken. So your body could walk in divine health. Praise God. Remember, he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. And once you get saved, your soul can start prospering. And then the body. And then the finances. It's a threefold redemption. The Abraham blessing was threefold. It was spirit, financial, and physical. Jesus dying on the cross was threefold. Financial, physical, praise God, and for your spirit be saved. And he says, for this cause, many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. Not talking about taking a nap. Talking about, one translation says, die prematurely. And I see it. I see it all the time with people. It doesn't have to be the way it is for a lot of people. God has provided healing for his children. He put Jesus on the cross, and Jesus willingly went there and paid such a horrific price so that you could walk in divine health. But now I would ask you to examine yourself. And maybe today this is like, wow, this is brand new to me. Or maybe it's like, I heard it once before, but I'm not solidified. Maybe now that points out why there's been an open door to some things. I'm not saying it has been for sure. I just know this, that a reason many people are is because they don't know a lick about it. They don't have an understanding about it. So examine yourself. What do I know about divine healing? Do I know that Jesus died? Am I just as convinced that he died for my sickness as he did my sin? And if the answer is no, get convinced. Because if not, many are weak and sick among you and many sleep. Now, discerning the Lord's body is not just one way. How else do you not discern the Lord's body? Treating other Christians wrong is part of the body of Christ, doing them wrong, ripping them off, talking behind their back. You're not discerning that that's the Lord's body either. If you had an understanding that Christians are the body of Christ, oh, you'd be so sweet. You'd be so loving because they're Jesus. They're Jesus. Another way to not discern the Lord's body is not discerning where your part is in the body. I'm going to tell you something, people. Your life is not supposed to be about you just getting saved and you coming to church and just getting all these blessings heaped upon you and you doing nothing for God. I know that's the way the majority of the body of Christ is, but that's not God's plan for you. The Bible says he gave you a pastor to perfect you for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says, God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Guess whose job it is to do the work of the ministry? Not mine. My job is to prepare you to do the work of the ministry. You're the hands and feet. You're the soldiers that should be out there passing out the books, telling people about your church, telling people about Jesus, doing wonderful things, not the pastor. Now, I do those things. But I'm to prepare you to do those things. And people think, oh, I'm just going to go to church and get my blessings. Backwards. Backwards. Don't be that child that I used to be at a family dinner that would come and eat all the good food and then just magically, when it came time to do dishes, I had to go to the bathroom for a long time. That was who I was. Didn't serve. Didn't help pick up. Gotta go. Oh, I gotta go. Such a good meal. I got to go. I'm trying to get out. Praise the Lord. Don't be that person. But that's the way more majority of Christians are. When I got born again, I literally said this to my pastor. And I know you could take it as, whoa, man, that's really crazy. It was a heart thing. I said, I'll do anything. What do you want me to do? What can I do in the church? I will cut the grass on my hands and knees with scissors. I meant it. What can I do, Lord, to help? What can I do to pay back for what you've done? What can I do to be a blessing to mankind? And I know some of us are just coming into church and just learning these things, but this is part of our learning. This is part of our growing. We're not. And when he said not discerning the Lord's body, some people don't discern. Let's, for example, if I stop being a pastor and decide, you know what, this ain't what I want to do. I'd rather just be, get a good camera and go out and film my hunts and try to produce a TV show and hunt for a living. I'll tell you what's going to happen to Pastor Mike. He's going to be weak. He's going to be sick. And he's going to die prematurely. Why? I didn't discern my place in the body. It's not my choice to pick and choose what I get and what I want to do. He bought me. He bought me with a price. I am his. I no longer live, but Christ lives through me. I have in my Bible next to that scripture in Galatians, a dead man has no wishes.
That's right.
The Bible says I've been crucified with Christ. My life is his now. I don't get to choose whether or not I want to do this or not.
Right.
But if I do what God has for me, there won't be any more blessings. The major blessings, I can't find any more blessings outside the plan of God is what I'm trying to say, as I can inside the plan. So if you're struggling with something God's telling you to do or you know you're called to do, that's where the peace will be. That's where the provision will be. That's where the prosperity will be. That's where the healing will be. Not discerning the Lord's body. But today we're talking about discerning the fact that he paid for you on the cross. He died on the cross. You need to know that. You need to understand that. And many are weak, sick, and sleep prematurely because they don't understand. So let's get in the know. Amen. If we're not in the know, don't beat yourself up. Just get in the know and say, today and the rest of my days are going to be different. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for our healing. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you that you paid for that price. We thank you, Lord, that on that cross you died such a horrific death. We thank you, Lord, that you went through what you went through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you need to leave, you go ahead, but I need about 5 extra minutes. I'm going to put a song on. Let's just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Some of you have heard this before. But it's Dr. Dufresne's prophecy. And also the song that they wrote for the prophecy that Dr. Dufresne had. Now remember, all Dr. Dufresne saw was what Isaiah saw on the cross. And I want us to think about this as we listen to this song. I want us to think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. After that song, can you just hit pause? After number 4.
Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 tell us, "Surely he had borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and our diseases. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." As a young man in my 30s, I stood in a local church, along with other ushers, ready to receive communion. Standing there, I told the Lord, "I don't really understand what communion's all about." And all at once, the roof of that church disappeared, and I saw a vision, and I saw Jesus hanging on the cross, and then I saw the words of sickness and disease fly through the air, each one striking him. I saw the words of cancer, tuberculosis, arthritis, and other diseases fly through the air. I saw words of disease that I recognized and words I didn't recognize. The words came slower at first, then they began to come faster and faster. As each struck him, his whole body jolted and was jarred. I was seeing every sickness and disease being laid on him, and each word struck him, and I saw what the prophet Isaiah saw. He was marred more than any man. He didn't even resemble a man anymore. On him was laid every sickness and disease. As Matthew 8:17 tells us, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Where did he take them? He took them away from you and me.
Hungry to know, I look to the Lord, and a vision came to me. As I stood there that day, the roof disappeared, and I Jesus on the cross hanging there for me. Then through the sky I saw words fly of sickness and disease. The words came slow, then faster they flew as each one struck him. I saw every sickness and every disease laid on him. He took it away. All sickness and disease, he took it away, away from you and me. He took it away, all sickness and disease. Took it away, away from you and me. As each word struck him, his body charred and was marred more than any man. With his vision I did see all that he did for me. I did understand. And he took our infirmities, our sickness did bear. As the prophet of old did see, where did he take them? He took them away. Away from you.
Interesting, as I was listening to that song, the word of the Lord came unto me. Let's just stay in reverence. I don't know who this pertains to or how many people it pertains to, but I'm going to obey the Spirit of God. And there are some who struggle in life and go through life with hardships because of what they hear. For hearing brings the faith. It can bring good faith, or it can bring faith for wrong things. Some of you have been giving yourselves to wrong music, is what the Spirit of God is saying to me. And you're listening to music that is feeding your mind, feeding you over and over about sickness, disease, poverty, hardship, heartache. And you're listening to it for hours and hours and hours a day. And you don't even know that faith is being built and faith is being fortified and faith is being strengthened in wrong areas. So be careful with what you hear. Be careful with what you let in. For what you hear and what you let in is what you'll have faith for. What you have faith for is what will come to pass in your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Your pastor here, before we get into the salvation call, is very careful with what he listens to. I'm not listening to the worldly music all day long that's telling me how hard it is, how bad it is, how depressing it is, how I lost this, I'm going to lose that, how it's going to be bad. No. Jeff can testify, when we get in that vehicle, we have faith music playing. Why? I'm just constantly stirring myself up, building myself. You say, Pastor, you're getting on a soapbox about music. No, I'm only doing it because the Spirit of God said. Because I was thinking of a song like that. Those are the kind of songs that I listen to. I know maybe it's not your taste. It's not my natural taste either, but I'll tell you what, it builds faith in you. It puts faith in you. To hear that, that He took it away, that He paid for me, I'll tell you what I'm having faith for. Healing. Glory to God. I'm listening to faith music. So that was a word of the Lord for somebody, or maybe more than one person. But He was doing that to be a blessing to you, to help you. Not to pick apart your life and to be mad at you. It's to help you. Faith comes in all sorts of ways. Praise God. Can come through music. Can come through who you're associating with. Can come through what you're watching, what you're around. Praise the Lord. What you give yourself to, you'll become proficient in. Hallelujah. Father, we love You today. Thank You for Your mercy. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if there's anybody here, you can say, I don't know, heaven would be my destination if I died today. If you can honestly say, I don't know where I'd go if I passed away, would you raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Anybody at all? Get off the fence of eternity. If you say, man, I think I'd go to heaven. Boy, become sure. You don't have to just think. You can know. Anybody here want to receive Jesus? Want to know that they know that they know that they know that they know they're going to heaven? If you don't know that, just raise your hand. Anybody at all? Lord, I don't see any hands in this service, but maybe someone listening by live stream or in the future by archives will fit those qualifications. I just pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus the Lord of their life, and they would accept Him. And it's simple how you do it. You just say, Lord, I believe in You. I ask You to come into my heart, forgive me for my sins. And then get a hold of us, and we'll get you set up in a good Bible teaching church wherever you live. We'll get you connected somewhere. And Father, we love You. We thank You that You paid that price for us. Jesus, You're so faithful to us. You're so sweet to us. Thank You, Lord. And if you paid for it, Lord, I don't want to sit back and not take advantage of what You paid for. So, Father, I thank You. I will walk in divine health. I thank You. This church will walk in divine health. As we renew our mind to the words, we'll walk into what You have. In Jesus' name. Amen. I promise you I don't try to go longer. I just, trying to be a blessing and hearing what God says to us. But anyways, have an awesome, awesome rest of the weekend. We'll see you right here next week, Sunday at 10 o'clock. You are dismissed.